Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today as we look at matters of the heart. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's allow these words become a prayer for us today as we examine our own heart before the Lord. So join in the conversation as we examine the condition of our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Now, I got this from the New Living Translation, Janie, because I like how it emphasized the guarding of the heart rather than keep your heart. And it says it determines the course of your life rather than all the issues of life come from your heart.
I really like that particular translation because to me, when it says it determines your course, mm-hmm. I think of so many ways we can talk about how we try to determine the course of our life by our education, by our involvement in society, by the friends that we choose. Right. And I do realize that a lot of times in the scripture, it is good if you take one of the more traditional and compare it with a living or a J.B. Phillips or something like that.
That's a good idea.
It does add fullness to the meaning for mm-hmm. the mind to grasp.
Because sometimes when you read things in the King James Version, the word structure is a little backwards. So when you're reading through that in it's backwards, it's a little hard to follow.
It is, and I'm not sure exactly how Psalms 119 2 reads in the different translations, but I can understand it in this one, and it is, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart." Now that helps me totally understand. I just can't be halfway involved in my relationship with him. I certainly wouldn't want to have a marriage based on just half a heart.
Right.
I want my whole self put into it, as well as I want my husband to respond accordingly. And then the word testimonies, really, how has the Lord testified of who he is? He's given us his example of when he walked here on earth and how we can model our life after him. Mm-hmm. And more important then, he testified that he was going to give us his spirit, and his spirit would lead us into freedom and liberty.
Right.
So really stopping and listening to the words, and many times when somebody especially quotes a verse that maybe I know by heart, I don't really let it soak in again. I just kind of say, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
And it's really good to always listen, because the Lord may be having something to say, even though you may have read it 50 times.
And it's always good to be reminded again and again, even if we do know it.
Right. So, well, listen, let's go to Mark 4. We have a parable, and a parable was the way the Lord chose to teach people. And the reason that he spoke to them in a parable is because their heart was not really seeking him. Their heart was not really seeking truth. They had a mere curiosity about what he was saying. And because he knew they were not ready for the true seeds that he wanted to plant in them, he spoke in a parable, hoping that it would cause enough of their curiosity to get a trigger.
Or to want more.
To want more.
Okay.
Or to hear something and go, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Right.
So in some ways.
And a lot of times you can relate to parables because you can relate to the stories of the physical aspects that bring a spiritual meaning.
Yes. Mm. It's a great attention getter.
Right. Right.
So I'm sure the Lord had voice inflection in his teaching, and that voice inflection probably raised it to a pitch. And then he gave him the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a real attention getter.
Right.
So as we look at Mark 4, in this parable, it's the parable of the sower. And I want to look at what's necessary for this parable to make sense. It has a sower, one who is going to actually plant the seeds in the ground for a particular purpose. And as we make a comparison here, we can look at the sower really being Jesus Christ, or we can look at the parable being us as representatives of Jesus Christ who have the Word of God.
Okay.
And so the seeds then become what we want to plant in the soil. And that's really the Word of God, isn't it?
Right.
We can also want to plant the evidence of a godly lifestyle, and that can be evidenced by certain seeds that are planted. But they're planted in soil, and the soil in this parable is the heart.
And that's really the most important part of this whole parable is the soil that it's planted in.
That's right. And we also are going to see that there is a mind-heart connection in this parable. The mind and the heart's got to work together, or we are not going to have a fruitful growth.
So as we look at this parable, there are several different kinds of soil represented here of the heart. And the first one says that the seed fell to the wayside. So when the seed falls to the wayside, that is a hard heart, right?
Yes, it certainly can be because it's devoured.
Okay.
It's destroyed.
Okay.
All right, so the hard heart is not listening. It's not going to apply. It's not going to go there. It has no interest.
I see.
It has no interest in God or anything to do with Jesus Christ for salvation.
So a hard heart is closed up and doesn't want to hear?
That's right. It has been damaged, and it is not going to be from maybe some gross sin in your life, but simply a hard heart is a reflection that there's no interest in God whatsoever.
So do you think that people who get busy in life develop a hard heart?
Well, that can be part of the path that they go down because if you're busy, you know, there's no time for being quiet and contemplating. The world offers us yoga. The world offers us meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the world knows that you need to have a quiet time.
So they get us to be quiet in the wrong ways when we really need to be quiet before the Lord. It's all about the purpose of the heart.
Yes, and again, for those people that are practicing yoga, I want to tell you there are some very good yoga exercises.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like they want you to, you know, get all.
And that, and okay, I'm glad you did that, Sharon. Because yoga teaches, and I am not a yoga practicer by any means, but that is so your mind will go into a passive emptiness.
Okay.
Now, is there anywhere in Scripture that tells us that we're to have a empty mind that is just mindless and we can allow whatever wants to come into it? That would be in violation of the very first words you said at the beginning of our show.
Guard your heart.
Keep your heart. Guard your heart. All right?
Right.
Now, yes, there's a time for quiet reflecting and meditation, but it's to have an object on which you're choosing to reflect.
Well, David says to meditate on the Lord.
Day and night.
Day and night.
Yeah.
Right.
So we don't want to be empty-minded.
Okay.
We want to be Christ-minded or things that he has told us to dwell on. Okay?
So our heart can be hardened by just the mere busyness. And then when we decide not to be busy and we go into these states of meditation, then that allows for
the enemy to put his thoughts in.
Okay.
All right. And then hearts can also be hardened by just our presuppositions that we have gained through our learning from family, from education, the workplace.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we can have distortions in our thinking and prejudices, which can really steal the truth from us.
Okay.
And some of those distortions can be pride, bitterness, unbelief, personal opinions that can be heard in when a person speaks. All right?
Okay.
And opinions are very, very dangerous if they're not grounded in a foundational truth. And in our culture today, everybody has an opinion. And it used to be that we could live with one another's opinions, and even if we didn't agree.
Right.
Because we didn't demand that my opinion not only must be heard by you, but must be obeyed by you just because it is my opinion.
Oh, that's good, Janie. That is so good.
You don't have to be in a governmental place. You don't have to be the chief operating officer of a company.
Just an opinion and a platform to share it on, right?
That's right. But truth is still truth, and that's what we're wanting to get across today, Sharon, is that the heart must be based in truth. Otherwise, it will become a victim to our distortions, our opinions, our prejudices, and it can even come to the point to where it affects our health.
Okay.
If our heart is hard.
So how do we break a hard heart? And can it be broken?
Absolutely. It can absolutely be broken. Jeremiah 4:3 says, break up your fallow ground.
What is fallow ground? What's that mean?
Well, it is a ground that needs to have a plow gone through it to break it up, to loosen up the hardness that it has. And you need moisture to break up fallow ground. You need water.
Okay.
The Word of God is the water. The washing of the Word cleanses our hearts.
Okay.
So we need to break up the fallow ground. Then also, just along that same line, is Hosea 10:12. And it almost repeats the same message. It says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains. Oh, there's the water symbolically.
Mm.
And what does he rain to us? His righteousness on us.
Oh, wow. That is so good, Janie. So there is hope for those who have hard hearts, whether it's somebody we're praying for that has a hard heart, or it's our own lives that we can look at and say, okay, I think my heart is hard. So we need to allow the Word of God to wash over us and to cleanse us and to fill us with righteousness. That is, that's great. That's just great. It gives us hope. Okay, so that's the hard heart. And then it goes into, in verse 5 of Mark chapter 4, it talks about the stony ground. What kind of heart is it if it falls on stony ground, Janie?
Well, it is a confused heart. It may have an interest. It may be receptive, but it has no depth to it. In certain areas of the U.S., you may have just a couple of inches of good topsoil, and then you've got like a limestone bedrock underneath it. It's
okay.
Solid stone.
Right.
So the Word of God goes into some good soil, but it's not deep enough to where a person can really understand the deeper truths. It might be somebody that recognizes, yes, there is a God, and yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I think he died for our sins. But what do you do after you believe that?
Oh, okay.
Because you can't go deeper into what the Lord said. You know, he said, yes, be a learner, be a disciple, know my mind, see what I have promised for you, see what is in the Word.
So these are people who are coming to salvation, but they're not moving any closer in a relationship with the Lord. So what's next for them? What should they do next after salvation to break up that stony ground underneath? What's the next step for them?
So now, in any kind of relationship, we'd want to know the heart a little deeper. So once we realize that Jesus Christ is our Savior, then how does he become the master of our lives? And he tells us that once we understand he died for us, he then tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are to also die daily unto our own selves, our own agenda, our own opinions. Remember, we talked about those things.
Okay.
So he's wanting us to say, you put away your mindset about things and take up my mindset. And my mindset is that you are willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. As I've laid down my life for you, I want you to be willing to sacrifice for your brothers and sisters to help them also grow in good soil.
So we have to have good soil ourselves and not be so shallow. So we've got to dig down deep past the rocks, past the junk, and allow the Lord to teach us deeper things like the cross.
What it's like to have a prayer life that is more than just, Lord bless this food, amen, dive in.
Oh.
That was the prayer.
Right.
All right, well, that's
good food, good meat, good God, let's eat.
Okay.
Heard that one.
Okay, those would be shallow prayers.
Okay.
All right, they acknowledge that someone has provided. But he wants us to go far beyond that. And you know, we can apply that, Sharon, in church fellowship. We can apply it in a marriage. How many marriages today, because of other issues, have a very shallow marriage?
Okay.
And right. That's why we have a divorce rate.
Everything's on the surface, superficial. Don't get to the depths of things. Don't know the heart of each other. Don't really have conversations.
You're describing.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. So
yes.
That is a shallow heart. It's a shallow relationship.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Sharon, that's where many, many, many in our churches are today. They go to church. They might have a 30-year pen because they've never missed a Sunday, but they still have a shallow heart in knowing their God.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And then there's one here that many of us can specialize in, and that's the emotional heart. Oh, my. That emotional heart hears a song and weeps. It hears a good sermon and just, oh, that was wonderful, wonderful. But once again, it comes from a belief system that really has no depth.
So everything's about feeling good?
Impulses, your impression, your intuitions, your instincts, and largely based on just circumstances. When it feels good, it must be good.
So when things don't go the way they think they ought to, then they just kind of crumble and fall apart?
They can, with their emotions, they're the ones that have the highest highs and the lowest lows.
Okay.
Because all their right. belief system is based on their emotions and their feelings.
Okay. So they walk the aisle on Sunday, and then by Monday night, they are needing to walk the aisle again, basically,
and they may walk to other places that we would not desire to be a strong witness for Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So everything's based on emotion, not on truth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. This heart really joyfully accepts God's word. But this heart does not understand the price that must be paid to really become mature, genuine Christians.
Oh, okay.
They never quite get it from their head to their heart.
So we have a hard heart, we have a shallow heart, and we have an emotional heart.
Yes.
So what other kind of hearts are there?
Well, there's one that is really prevalent these days, and it's the crowded heart. It's the cluttered mind.
Oh, that's where busyness comes in, isn't it?
It really does, and we need to just touch on this. Many times with this cluttered heart in our society today and the way we are being bombarded by everything from media, from news, from conversation, the changes that are transpiring. We really need a good weed killer to get rid of all the poisons that we are being inundated with.
I see.
And some of the things that are crowding our hearts, Sharon, are the fears of what are happening in some parts of our country today.
Right, right.
And it's cluttering our mind. So I would just like to tell most people who think they may have the beginnings of Alzheimer's or dementia, no, you probably really don't. You probably have a cluttered mind that cannot assimilate so many diverse priorities, threats, fears, unknowns, that are causing you to not remember what you want to remember, because the mind can only hold so much at a time, and it's going to hold what is most relevant to what's coming into it.
And so when we have a cluttered mind or a crowded mind, then we get a crowded heart.
Yes, and you can't assimilate all of it.
Okay.
So you're going to dwell on probably more what causes you to be fearful than what causes you to be calm. Because the things that cause you to be calm are the things that the Scripture provides for you by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the calm. He is the tranquility. He is the peace that passes understanding.
Right.
But when someone's threatening your IRA or your job,
right,
or your children,
mm-hmm,
then that's what bombards your mind.
So this is like the seed that fell among the thorns. So the seed, or the word, is just overtaken by all the clutter in our mind.
Absolutely. So it's a matter of getting your mind simply uncluttered.
Right. Okay.
And then, Sharon, there's just one more that I want to bring out, if we have time, and that is the fruitless heart.
Okay.
All right. It looks great. It's functioning pretty great, but it just never winds up giving you fruit that ripens. In other words, it's not a tree that really matures, but it looks fabulous. It has so much greenery. It has so much growth. It may be making 10 seminars a week. Now I'm using the metaphor of moving over. It may be traveling 50 miles to just hear a special speaker. It may be buying tons of things online that are going to help you grow. And yet it just never produces fruit.
So is this like Timothy talks about, that the women are learning but never growing?
Well,
is that the same concept?
Well, that would, yes, it's not exactly, but it would fit into that if you're wanting to just look at the Scripture. You're taking in, but you're never coming to being able to do what you're supposed to do, but you look fabulous.
So you can speak it but not live it.
That would definitely be included in what would be a fruitless heart.
Okay.
It just never reaches maturity to its full capacity.
All right, Janie. So as we have associated the condition of our heart with the parable of the sower, Jesus gave us three dominant issues that cause these heart conditions. One is the cares of this world. Two is the deceitfulness of money. And three is the desire for other things.
Will keep us from having a fruitful, conditioned soil and heart.
And I never really thought that I had any of those issues, but as you have described the soil conditions of our heart, it has helped me to evaluate, to see what kind of soil I have. And at the root of all of these heart conditions is one of these dominant issues. So I really need to spend some time in prayer to see what is the root issue that is causing my heart condition. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.